Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us tonight. We are on the air with Dr. Pat Allen. Tonight we're going to be talking about breakup, recovery from breakup, and recovery from oxytocin addiction. And then we're going to get to go over Dr. Allen's signature high by letter. So again, thanks for joining us. And Dr. Allen, we're on the air.
So glad. I like this. I like talking, but I like talking to more people.
So, Dr. Allen, let's talk about how to survive a breakup.
Well, it depends on if it's your breakup or their breakup.
Okay, so for the sake of argument, for our first scenario, let's say we're the one that's left behind.
Okay. Now, it depends on whether you're just in a what I call just a touch relationship, a hookup.
Right.
It's called. Now, a hookup is a disco dance.
Right.
You get together, touch a bit, and then come apart and go back to your own life. So that one, when you're ready to leave, it's just, I'm leaving.
Right.
And generally speaking, sadly, if you're the woman, he doesn't mind because you're replaceable.
Right, you're just the hookup, so
yeah, that's
you can
right.
find one in any bar.
I hate hookup, that's a pretty good combo. Okay, now, if you're in a codependent relationship and you happen to be the one that's being used, you're
right.
the zero and they're a 10, then what's happening is, literally, you're losing your source of life.
Okay.
If you're the woman.
Okay.
That's not unusual, and that's difficult to get over.
What if you're a man and you're the zero and your significant other is the 10?
If you're a man and you're a zero,
mm-hmm.
They're very, very susceptible to the Takotsubo cardiomyopathy heart attack.
Right.
And so that particular heart attack is one that's very, very susceptible to particularly older men who are becoming very, very sensitive biochemically. And what happens is the betrayal of losing their partner because they bond, like young women bond. But older men are really, really sensitive.
Right.
And because of that, the heart, the lower chamber, fills up with fluid and predisposes the heart to a heart attack in the first week or two.
In the first week or two.
So I tell men, if your heart hurts, go to the emergency ward because you may be suffering a Takotsubo cardiomyopathy heart.
Now, what
happens? Broken heart syndrome.
What happens with women? Do women have that same phenomenon?
Women basically are built to be more survivor. We survive better. We have a larger corpus callosum between the two lobes in our brain, and we can basically rationalize more than right-handed men. Left-handed men, ambidextrous men, biologically gay men, have the same larger corpus callosum, which means they mix their thoughts and feelings together, and that it makes them more susceptible to a broken heart syndrome.
Now, women are typically have a high oxytocin addiction. Do men have the same kind of addiction in their youth or only
no,
in the later years?
No, they do
years?
Not have it in their youth. They are pretty testosterone-based, which is very compete, conquer, and control-oriented.
Right.
But older men, as the testosterone goes down,
mm-hmm.
are very much impacted by the estrogen in their system. And interestingly, today, we're finding that men are so hopped up about getting their testosterone checked that they don't realize it would be significant to get their estrogen checked because it makes them very, very sensitive and susceptible to the betrayal syndrome.
Right. And at that point, they have oxytocin issues where they have...
Yeah, very much so. That's why that older man goes with that girl digger hard body.
Gotcha. Okay.
Do you see? So older men, younger women, and
right.
younger women, basically, well, younger women, older women and younger men are basically oftentimes able to do the hookups easier.
Right. Right, of course.
Cougars and gigolos.
Right.
Okay.
What a combination.
A lot of our very famous women are practicing this.
Yeah. So the reason that this topic sort of came up is because during the week I get a lot of emails and messages through social networks asking specific questions about what you're teaching and what we're doing here on the radio. So the gal that sent her request for something about surviving a breakup, she's been in a relationship for 15 years.
For how long?
15 years.
15 years.
And, of course, he left. And she feels really devastated, and she doesn't want to continue wasting, how she put it was, wasting these days on grieving what was. She'd like to be able to move forward, but she's not sure how to do that. She's not sure.
I would be more than willing to talk about that.
Yeah, she's not sure what steps to take to actually survive this and or maybe even excel out of it.
Okay, well, she's been in a long-term relationship. And just as the government recognizes a 10-year relationship as worthy of permanent alimony, nature, when you are in a relationship that long, mm-hmm. your body is really accustomed to being near this human being.
Right.
And so because of that, there are two ways that I usually work with people. One is 2 years of no contact with that other person, no smelling them. Sisu Carter, University of Maryland, did the research that found that fornicating and lactating and gestating
right.
all produce this oxytocin bonding system.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I ask women in particular, young women, look, you've got two ways to go. You can either abstain from tasting, touching, smelling, seeing, or hearing him.
Him, right.
Because 9 out of 10 of them ask to be friends.
Okay, right.
What they're really doing, and they don't even know it scientifically, is they're checking on her formaldehyde bottle in the basement on his shelf to make sure she's still in it and no other man has the pleasure of her company, particularly sexually.
Right.
So one way is basically do not go anywhere near, do not smell him, because when you smell him, his DNA goes into your mouth through your palate.
Mm-hmm.
Then it hits the Jacobson's organ.
Between the eyes?
Divides into two strands.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those strands goes to the prefrontal cortex where you decide that he's the only man on your on the planet.
That could ever help.
True.
Yeah, right.
And the other one goes to the pituitary, and they keep on producing the oxytocin. So every time you smell him, and sometimes, in addition, talk to him, smell him, any connection, you remarry him physically. So if you could arrange it, please do not taste, touch, smell, see, or hear him or the messages he sends or through girlfriends, through whatever.
Right.
And don't be friends. You can't be friends if you've been lovers, especially for that long. The other way is to be unfaithful to him.
Okay.
Now, one of the things that men do that is very clever is they're tremendously intuitive.
Okay.
And that means that they can spot if any of the women on listening have ever found a boyfriend where you were when you were flirting with somebody else, you know what it feels like. How did he know I was here?
Right.
I believe that once a man believes you're one of his women, that his intuitive sense will find you wherever. He knows when you're pulling away.
Okay.
You see? So what I do is I ask her, please date, please duty date, to threaten your chemistry. You will feel unfaithful. You will feel slutty. But that's because your body's married to him.
Right.
So if you date other men, even if you're not attracted to them, you're practicing getting over him by being unfaithful.
So essentially what she needs to do is she needs to get back out into the stream and start
Absolutely.
Swimming.
Absolutely.
She needs to start doing the five-second flirt and looking.
She needs to duty date people she has no chemistry for.
Or maybe has chemistry for.
And maybe have, and that's a real date.
Right.
But the secret is don't rebound into a sexual relationship because you're liable to bond to the new guy and be in the same boat.
Let me ask you this. The older gentleman.
And sex is intercourse.
Right.
Casual affection is sex.
Right.
But intercourse is special sex.
Right. So the older gentleman, they're in the same boat that the younger woman that's left, the older
gentleman.
Yes,
they are.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons that men that are 15 years older than younger women often make extremely good husbands and fathers because they're as bondable.
We've got a caller. Okay, caller, go ahead. You're on the air. Do you have a question for Dr. Pat? Apparently, we have a shy caller. We always have shy callers. Okay, so our guys that are older are bonding, and they're having the same thing that we've been talking about. That
They have to do the same thing.
The same thing. Back out in the world,
right?
Looking for somebody with chemistry, or even just duty dating.
Duty
themselves.
Dating. But what I ask men to do is, please don't use other women for intercourse. I mean, I acknowledge while legal or illegal, pay it or don't do it.
Right, exactly.
You see? And the reason for that is women should not have to pay for other women's
mistakes or tragedies tortures. Okay, caller, you're on the air. Hello, you have a question? Okay, Dr. Pat, so we've gone through the oxytocin with the older men and younger women. And now when we're out there and we're hooking up, are we getting that same oxytocin bond and addiction through hooking up? Or
yes, but the problem is it's a sexual bonding. It's not a love bonding.
So it's more like
it has chemistry, but rarely compatibility and rarely good communication.
So
you're not building anything.
Would you think that would be more akin to like just any sort of, is it addictive?
It's an addiction. Sex, money, and mind-altering chemicals produce enough dopamine to really call people to addiction. There's a wonderful book called The Craving Brain by Dr. Rudin, which is about the brain that literally craves the addictive substance.
Right.
Sugar is a mind-altering chemical.
Right.
You see?
Yeah.
So those things, we do them for the gratification, but you can't build. A sex addiction relationship is approximately 3 years long at max.
Right.
First year, infatuation. Second year, gratification. Third year, boring.
Boring. Okay. Well, I guess there's just no way past that.
But for people to know that gratification and sexual addiction feel like you're in love, but you're not in love because you're not building anything.
Right. So really, basically, when it comes down to it, the difference is whether you begin building something. What if you start out and it's just a wild, passionate affair, but then all of a sudden you find yourself building something together? Is it that ever happen.
It's called a happy accident.
Okay. A twist of fate.
Yeah, it's sometimes people can jump in a rack and have compulsive casual sex and end up falling in love. But that's really miraculous.
And very rare.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your safest bet is to be with somebody you're chemically attracted to, and then talking and building a friendship. No friendship advances past the first lay.
Right.
Whatever your first lay was, whatever your first intercourse was,
right,
is basically an important, well, it's what was the reason for it? Was it a rape? Was it a drunken orgy? What was it?
Right.
Do you
see? I see what you're saying.
And then if you hold off, they've even found that by holding off intercourse, you're building up body friendliness. You're being affectionate.
Right.
That when you do start making love, because that's how you make love,
right,
that you will start better, be better, and have more solid lovemaking experiences because you've built it right.
So we talked last week about hedonists and,
yes,
and Stoics.
I know.
So do we ever get a blend of those two together?
I told last week, and I don't want to just do last week's show again, but people who go for the gratification of fast sex basically don't like boring lovemaking because they don't
right,
have the capacity. But people who make love, and that means basically that when they get together, they don't have intercourse, but they do all everything else. They get very friendly, physically,
right, physically,
and mentally,
okay,
and emotionally.
Okay.
They really build a friendship, even though they want to have intercourse, they don't. Do you know that they produce more dopamine from lovemaking than the gratifiers that get their sex fast and easy?
Gotcha.
Isn't okay, that wonderful?
That's interesting. That's really
so
interesting.
So people who make love have wild sex periodically, but people who only like sex rarely make love.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. So, Dr. Allen, you have a very special thing that you do. And you're really the first person I've ever really heard talk about it in this particular way. You have a high by letter.
Yes.
And each one of your paragraphs is for a specific purpose.
Very much so.
And one of the questions I have is, when you write this letter, do you necessarily have to send this letter, or is this a therapeutic thing for yourself as well as for sharing?
It's extraordinary. I have never heard such beautiful, creative writing as I have with the hi-bye. The hi-bye letter is a spin-off of one of my tools, the five-step cleanup.
Right.
Which is something has happened and you want to bring it up and analyze it.
Right.
But the five-step cleanup, there's the tools are the stroke and stand for how to confront somebody in the here and now in a respectful, cherishing way. We could talk about that another time.
Okay.
The five-step cleanup is bringing something out of context because it was a painful event.
Okay.
And the third tool is validation, which is flushing the unspoken to the spoken level. I sense, I think, I believe by this body language that you're upset or mad or sad or something.
Right.
Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
So these are a cornerstone of my transactional analytic tools. But in the last couple of years, people have been saying, but I want closure.
Okay.
He left me.
Okay.
And he just left, and or she left, because it works just as beautifully for men as
for
it
men
does
too.
For women.
Okay.
You see?
Yeah.
And it's so awesome having a very stoic man write this letter. And I make him read it to me because I want to make absolutely sure they don't intimidate,
right,
and they don't seduce. They only overview the relationship and basically say goodbye.
So basically, when you have them read out loud, you're looking for the telltale signs, the manipulation, the anger, the...
I'm looking for the games.
The games, right.
And I don't want to participate in the game. So if I ask somebody to write the hi-bye letter, mm-hmm, it's because they've been dropped, left, right?
Right.
Okay. But that person may still be calling them every 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks. You see, one of the things,
yeah,
I found way back in the 60s when I read Maxwell Maltz's book, Psycho-Cybernetics,
oh, yeah,
is that the human being, when they have a decision to make and they're willing to stay sober and not get drugged out, remember?
Yeah.
Feelings and emotions are not negotiable other than drugs, meds, murder, and suicide. And that's pretty heavy.
Right.
I'm not called upon much in those cases. But if you have the strength to be stoic, to stay sober while you're going through your pain,
yeah,
and you have a person like me, a cognitive behavioral transactional analyst, you see, specialist, mm-hmm, then I will create something, and I did a couple years ago, and that's the hi-bye letter.
Right.
Now, it's not to be given ever until the 8 weeks is done.
Okay, that is a great distinction. Explain that, Dr. Allen.
Well, what it means is, he says, or you caught him with her, or she caught him with him, or whoever they're with.
Somebody got caught with someone.
You've got evidence. And here's what I want you to know. I don't believe instinct and intuition because I want proof. I want, you know, prima
tangible,
facie data.
Right, empirical fact.
I want
fact.
Pictures. I don't care if you get a detective. I want something that proves by maybe cell phone, maybe motel bills, something that is absolutely unexplainable other than they are doing something that is anti-contract.
Right.
Monogamy, continuity, and longevity.
In other words, they've breached.
That's right. They've breached their contract. Now, 8 weeks is the scientific awareness, like babies are 36 weeks. Rumination, feel thing, is what we humans go through when we're making major decisions.
Okay.
And when you've been dumped by somebody, too many people blame themselves. I did it. I must have done it. You see,
right.
I want them back. I'll change. I'll do it differently. Whatever.
Right. So in other words, they're looking for something to hang their hat on with respect to whatever happened in the relationship. They
want it to be their fault so they can beg.
Fix and change.
They can change, right. So,
because you can't change the other person. You can't fix
the
other person.
I have seen so many people try that, okay?
Right.
But it doesn't work. People change themselves, but you can't change them. You can kill them, but you can't change them.
Right.
See, so here's what I say when I get somebody that's been dumped.
Right.
Whether it's a man or a woman. Okay, and I give them the old feelings and emotions are not negotiable. Okay, all right, Pat Allen. But what do I do now? And I say, do you want to write a hi-bye letter? And they go, what's that? Well, the first 4 paragraphs or tomes or encyclopedias, depending on how big you want to write it.
Right.
Or it could be 3 sentences in each category. I don't care.
Right.
Do you want to write a letter to your loved one that, in effect, overviews the relationship in 4 paragraphs or tomes.
Right.
Right? And then says 1 paragraph that I'll tell you as I go through the 5.
Yes.
Okay, the 5-step clean. Well, it's not the 5-step cleanup. It's a hi-bye letter.
It's a hybridized version.
So the first paragraph, we'll just call it a paragraph.
Okay.
The first paragraph is everything you liked about him, everything you lusted, everything you loved.
Okay.
Okay. So it's you write it down.
Right.
First, you have to start a sentence which says, I'm writing you this letter to give you an overview of my feelings and thoughts about our relationship. Otherwise, you can't just start out with step one.
Right. So it's your introductory sentence.
Introductory sentence.
Okay.
And everything you like about that person, and love and lust.
Okay. So I loved your hair. I loved your smell.
The way you touch and the way you do. And they're beautiful.
Okay.
Then the second paragraph, the pain of being left. The loss of your relationship.
Okay.
The pain of it.
Okay.
You see? No one can hurt you. You can hurt yourself based on the pain people cause you.
That's
a biggie. So I won't say, you hurt me when, because that's victim.
And it's pretty aggressive, too.
Right. So with that in mind, they write about the pain from an objective point of view. What it felt like.
So almost like an outside observer.
Dear, what this is an autopsy of the relationship.
Okay.
It's an autopsy. The third paragraph, if you're a woman, you get what you want by knowing what you don't want.
Right.
So you say, I don't want this to ever happen again. I don't want to make the mistake I made when I did this or that. I don't want to be with the man who does this or that. It's all the don't wants.
Okay.
If you're a man or a masculine woman,
right,
you write down what you do want.
Okay, so there's a big distinction there.
Big
really
distinction.
That's a huge distinction.
And, you know, I want this from a woman. I want this from a feminine man.
Right.
I want this. Now we go to the third paragraph, which is for the woman, what she does want.
Okay.
So she does not want, and then she does want.
Okay.
He does want,
and then
what he doesn't want.
Aha! Okay.
You got that?
I got it, yeah.
And then the fourth, the next step.
Right.
Is basically when you say, these are the four of the steps that say what the overview is. The fifth step is basically a thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to learn from this very painful lesson so that I never, ever stay as long, do it again, or put up with it. Thank you for the lesson.
So whatever the lesson is,
whatever it is, do you see? But
yeah.
The pain, what it is I don't want to be with the man who, and I don't want to be with the woman who, and I want this, and I want that.
Right.
Depending on male or female. But the last paragraph is always, I basically thank you for giving me this painful lesson. So you've got four paragraphs that are overviewing the relationship. Because here's what happens. When somebody dumps you, they automatically think you want to kill them.
Right.
You know, or you're going to kill yourself.
Right.
So
or that there's, you know.
They don't reach out. Except that in the time when a man is gone or a woman is gone, all of the good things pop up too. So they start grieving the loss
of whatever the romance was.
Whatever it is. And if they've gone off with somebody else, that's somebody else, you see,
mm-hmm.
inevitably, basically, is going to do things because they went with you while you were with somebody else.
Right.
So there's the unfaithfulness that goes on. So that relationship is pretty doomed.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So with that, the four paragraphs, what I like about you, the pain of losing you, what I want, what I don't want, or everything I like about you, the pain of losing you, what I want and what I don't want, followed by the fifth paragraph, which is thank you for this lesson. I'm never going to make this mistake again. I wish you well. Have a great life. And you send it the day after the 8 weeks of abstinence. If he calls you or she calls you or he writes you or she writes you, you have to start the 8 weeks all over again.
Okay, now that is the question. That's the question everybody has. They're like, I was 7 weeks into this, and boom, he calls me. Now I have to start over.
It's worse than that. I just had a girl who hated me because she thought it wasn't going to work for her. He called the last day of the 8 weeks.
Oh.
Or maybe the day after.
Okay. Well, maybe his whatever was miscounting.
The killer weeks, they can all do 4 easy. 4 weeks easy.
Right.
Hey, man, who needs her? Who needs him? I'm out there. I'm going to get somebody else. Whatever.
Right.
But the last 2 weeks are very painful. Did you ever notice when you go to the dentist that just before the Novocaine or whatever it is goes out of your gum,
right,
it has a peak of pain.
Yeah.
And then it dulls down.
Right.
Okay. Well, it's like it's darkest before the dawn.
Right.
And trust me, the last 2 weeks of the 8 weeks is horrible.
Okay.
You hate Pat Allen. You hate them. Do you see?
Yeah.
But when they get the letter, they call back so fast it's unbelievable. Or they're truly gone and you don't hear from them.
Right.
And when you don't hear from them, they either died or take their number out of the book.
Okay.
But when you hear from them, it's usually you've touched their heart.
They realize
that you don't hate them. And that you're available if they wish to step in. And here's what they do when they do it. Hey, wait a minute. I found out that I really miss you. I want to be friends.
Right.
Everybody in the room and everybody out there, I promise, I am on my honor, I will never be friends with a former lover until I have a new lover.
Fantastic. I love that.
You got that?
I got it.
So here's what happens. He or she reaches out to you and they say, I want to be friends. And you say, you know what? I'd love to do that over the text, over the email, over the fax machine. But I still have too many feelings about you to be with you. Do you see?
I see.
And so you can't be with them. But you can build a bridge of communication.
Okay, well, let me ask you this.
Unless they're willing to rebuild the relationship.
Okay, well, what happens when you are into, let's say you're week 5 of the 8 weeks.
Oh, yes. And, oh, God.
And then they come back, and then they say something mewling and sort of sickening, like, I want to be friends. Can we be friends now?
You know what?
Then they go away again, and
no,
then you have
no.
to start.
What they usually do is they'll come back, try to be sexual,
okay,
to get you back in your formaldehyde bottle in the basement on the shelf with the light bulb.
Okay, so they're back for yum yum, and then what happens? I mean,
what you do is you date them non-sexually. You have to rebuild the relationship.
Okay, so let's say they don't. They rear their ugly head, and then you have to wait 8 weeks from that week again. This could grow. I mean,
yes,
Dr. Pat, you could keep hitting
this. The maximum I've had is a woman that did 4 8-week cycles because she loved this man so much.
That's 32
See,
weeks.
I've got news for you. This is the way you can get out of being in love, is by experiencing this incremental desensitization.
Oh, okay.
That's what
I can
doing.
See that. I can see what you're saying.
Joseph Volpe, where are you? He made his living and loving with incremental desensitization.
And
that's very behavioral, so I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you send the email, text, fax the day after the 8 weeks of no contact occurs. And they get it, and they see you're not rageful, and that you're available, and you're getting ready for your next relationship, which tweaks them.
I see.
David Buss wrote a wonderful book called Dangerous Passions about the territorial value of jealousy. If you don't have jealousy in your relationships, if you can swing, if you can have an open relationship, you ain't in love.
No, I would think not. I can't
see
that.
You're in sex.
Yeah, you're a hedonist for sure. I can't see that. I can't see a relationship without jealousy.
But that book says it beautifully.
And they talk about the green-eyed monster and the effects it has on a relationship. And I can tell you this right now, as a female, you know, I've been in a situation where my mate wasn't jealous about anything, and I was like, I don't even mean anything then.
No, that's the problem. David Buss, Dangerous Passions, The Benefits of Jealousy.
Okay, I have to read that one. I definitely have to read that one. So we've done the letter, and you do this for your clients. You only do it just for your clients.
Yes, and I have them read it to me because it's a very, very sensitive it isn't something that a layman would want to mess with because it can bring up, you know, a lot of very, very heavy-duty, painful feelings.
Now, is there ever a time that they write the letter and they come to you and they read the letter to you and you advise them not to send it?
No, I don't give advice.
Okay.
I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist.
Mm-hmm.
I work for you. You want me to help you keep him, I'll do that. You want me to help you get rid of him, I'll do that.
Okay.
You see? But I don't play God.
Right.
Because women's instinct, there are more neurotransmitters in the gut than in the brain. There are more. That's why men generally do their work intellectually by intuition.
Okay.
Women do their work by the illogic of instinct. I don't know why I don't like them. I just don't like them.
Oh, okay.
You see?
I see what you mean.
And men say, well, tell me the reason you don't like him.
Right.
You see?
Uh-huh.
Or say, for example, your boyfriend or your husband is befriending his last wife or last girlfriend.
Right.
And he says, I don't have sex with her. And I tell the woman that's sitting in front of me, he's doing worse. He's having an emotional relationship. That's more intimate than casual sex.
Now, see, I totally agree with you. I think that one of the issues right now with the internet is I just read a story on Facebook where a guy has been on a dating website. He's been actively dating multiple women. He's a married man.
Yes.
And on top of that, we hear now that men are having these emotional affairs online.
Yes.
And women are having these emotional affairs online. They're not physically.
And it's addictive.
Well, they're not physically leaving their mate, but they're emotionally absent. How does that affect a relationship?
Well, it destroys them.
Right.
Like any addiction. And remember, addictions are always connected to chemistry.
Right.
We have three major neurotransmitters. We have dopamine, which is a high.
Right.
We have norepinephrine, which is depressing.
Right.
And in nature throws in norepinephrine when you get too high.
Right.
To save you from going berserk chasing the antelope across the dairy, I guess, or
the plain, or the prairie,
yeah,
and the plain,
whatever.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then we have serotonin.
Right.
Serotonin is governed by our genetic system, and if we have a 5-HTT gene problem, we don't release serotonin appropriately.
Okay.
So we're short on it, and when we are short on serotonin, we crave glucose.
Okay.
Whether it's a form of alcohol or it's sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is the brain lives on glucose.
Right.
You see?
Right.
Or we switch over and we do pot or we do cocaine. Cocaine is very dopamine oriented.
Right.
So there's a wonderful book by, I rave about every book like it's the best book in the universe, but that's me. I'm a nerd. The book is called Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. by Robert Sapolsky, S-A-P-O-L-S-K-Y.
Okay.
He is at Stanford and the best in the book describing the biochemical issues.
Right.
Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. Do you know why they don't?
Why?
Because they give themselves the present of presence. If you're living in the moment and not in the future.
Right.
And not in the past.
Okay.
Retroactive and futuristic.
Right.
You probably are going to be biochemically stable.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. So, the girl who wanted to talk about the breakup, she's gotten to a point now where she wants to know what happens when he doesn't respond to the hi-bye letter.
What happens is, here's what happens. You've had 8 weeks of desensitization.
So basically detox.
Yes. And that 8 weeks lowers your oxytocin bonding just enough to have your brain be able to think a little bit.
Right.
When people detox and don't, you know, do bad things, don't turn to drugs, don't turn to booze, don't hurt yourself.
Right.
When they do that, interestingly enough, 6 to 8 weeks, if you have a trauma that isn't like watching your child get run over by a truck,
right?
If it's something like you've had a hurricane in your neighborhood, but your house didn't get wiped out,
right?
It takes about 6 weeks of, you know, you hear on the radio or anywhere where they have advisors and counselors go to schools,
right,
to be there to counsel. If you get into a person's mind when the blood is still flowing,
right,
and the pain is still
there,
it's
still present, right,
you can work with them through communication, talk.
Right.
It's when you put a scab on top of the wound.
The wound, right.
That you, the infected innards contaminates.
They just stay there and fester.
So you need to be in traumatic counseling. PTSD occurs on small, medium, and large events.
All right.
And talking helps.
Okay. So, and those events don't necessarily have to be what most people think of them as war. I mean, they're just days, can be just daily events.
Yes.
Something that just happened to you on any right. given day. So one of our questions is for an older man.
Yes.
Who has children.
Yes.
And he is constantly having to interact with his ex.
Who left him?
Yes, because of the children. How does he get away from that oxytocin addiction, having to smell her because he's having to interact with her because of the children?
Okay. Well, in that particular case, what I advise people is please have a meeting place if you need one desperately. Meet at the police station. Have somebody there. Don't smell them. It's the smell. When you get, it's the smell of the DNA, not the odor.
Right. It's the
DNA does not smell like citrus.
Right.
You can't, there is no.
It's not the cologne, in other words.
No.
Yeah.
In fact, I want to say out there that what we've learned with Sisu Carter and different people.
Right.
Is that we have an additional cranial nerve system, which is called the zero pre-olfactory, pre-smell. Smell is the first cranial nerve system.
Right.
So the pre-olfactory cranial nerve zero,
right,
which is the one that has the strand that goes to the prefrontal cortex and goes to the pituitary and releases the oxytocin.
Right.
You see?
Right.
And that's the one we learned about when we autopsied dolphins. Because when we did autopsies of human brains, we ripped those strands off and we didn't have the information we needed.
Right. We didn't know what they were. Right. Exactly.
We just, lousy autopsies.
We threw them in his side.
So in this particular case, there are people that cannot deal with their exes.
Right.
You know, I was working with a lady today, God love her, whose ex-husband and his new wife of 7 years, not new.
Right.
This couple were alienating.
One moment, caller.
Yeah, they were alienating the kids from her. Do you
see? Right, I see.
And so what I'm saying, what I would say to people that are with people like that is either you stay away from their poison.
Right.
You see, and use your lawyer to get the job done.
Yeah.
Or you connect with the kids through letters, mails, packages, certified mail, whatever.
Right. You stay in the car, they stay in the car, the kids jump out of one car into the other car,
right.
Ram windows stay up.
Got it.
Okay, we have a caller, Dr. Allen. Go ahead, caller. I'm sorry.
Hello, Pat.
Yes.
I love you. I mean, I just love your advice.
But do you
like me?
Okay.
What I want to say is that I got involved with a relationship, an online relationship, someone I met on a dating site.
Yes.
And
how long did it take you? Wait a minute.
Relationship is
how
like
long
emotional.
How long did it take you to meet him? To smell
him? We have never met.
We've
never met, but you said let someone appeal to your ears.
I know that, dear, but chemistry is through your nose and your mouth.
Well, chemistry can't chemistry be through your ears and what this person says to you?
Not, it can be seductive, but it can't be as addictive as smelling them. So what you're having is an emotional affair. Enjoy it.
Yes. But he wanted to make the affair. He said he wanted us to be together, okay?
Well, why didn't we get together?
I went to visit him, and he was too afraid to meet me. I don't
know
what, or either he's married,
You know what? I wouldn't doubt it a bit. So what you're experiencing is a seductive
Now I'm going
man.
Through withdrawal and going crazy
no,
because
you're
I
not
can't
going
stop
crazy.
Thinking
you're
about
talking
him.
To me. No, what you're doing is thinking about the person you created in your imagination.
Right.
You're in love with the movie star, dear.
He's Prince Charming.
So are you dating
Well, he wasn't exactly Prince Charming because he was very moody and sometimes not very nice either. But
well, Marlon Brando
I got
was
to like him,
moody.
Though. It was just the way he was. I don't know.
Is that the bad boy syndrome?
He was very seductive.
No, but he wasn't even talking seductively, though.
I do not want you to be in an emotional website relationship more than 2 weeks without meeting him unless you know you're having an emotional affair and you enjoy it.
Okay, what about I'm living in the United States and he's living over in Europe?
Well,
now how is that going to be if I can't get there for 2 weeks or he can't get here for 2 weeks?
Then
we shouldn't even correspond or talk?
Then I suggest you have an emotional affair.
But then, how do I break my psyche away from him now?
Well, if it's the same man, if you want to chase him and be the man, get on a plane, spend your money, go there. But don't be surprised if he hides out in a cave, because I hear him not wanting to meet you chemically. And, and that's the way it is. Remember.
And he just wants the fantasy himself.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I said, too. I told him that.
So,
and I think that's what he really wants. See, he acted like he wanted more, but I think, like my son told me, when you were on his doorstep, he realized he can't go through with that.
I know that. Meet him before the month is over.
Okay.
Or don't meet him at all, Dr. Pat?
What?
Or don't meet them at all after that?
After what?
After 2 weeks?
No, meet them whenever they can, but I suggest you meet them early enough so you don't build up this emotional affair.
Yeah, because that's hard to break.
Oh, Lord.
Really. And now it's like that's all I think about is him. And
I know that.
I've been getting sick because I was so hurt by it.
Do you want to go to a therapist for that? What city do you
I'm not fooling to go to a therapist.
What city do you live in?
Because he's like a ghost. I read it in your book.
I know that. But what city do you live in?
I live in San Diego.
Okay. Find an EMDR trauma therapist in your city, okay? And go to them, and they will help you connect your brains to your feelings again. EM, it's, or Shapiro created, it's eye movement desensitization. Otherwise,
You're saying that my brain is not connected to my feelings now?
Your brain is binging on your feelings. You're in an emotional affair in love with the movie star you haven't met. If you get seriously attracted, please do some therapy. EMDR is great.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller. Dr. Allen, we are about out of time. What can you tell us in closing? And I want to ask you, would the book that you would recommend for this girl who wants to get back, she wants to find love, she wants to get over this breakup and the pain that it's caused her, would you say
Getting to I Do? Getting to I Do. Staying married and loving it is also good. So those are the books. And what I'm going to say at the end is, remember, the three important parts of a love affair are chemistry, that's nature, compatibility, that's your lives fitting together, and communication, which is talking and touching.
You can find that very DVD set at www.wantistore.com. Find us at www.drpatallen.com and look for us on Facebook, tweet with us, and OnePlus us with Google Plus. Thank you so much. Have a great night. Awesome. That was great.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.